Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. Hey there, what's going on? Welcome to episode 352 of the Authentic Persuasion Show. In our time together, what I wanted to dive in was talking about the situation I see a lot. It's very common. It's very normal. There's nothing wrong with this. It's actually a positive step moving forward, but it creates lots of problems. And that is when a owner founder is the best salesperson, sometimes the only salesperson for the company, and they're looking to make that transition away from that situation. They're trying to figure out a way to bring on a sales team and to have some leverage to create other people who can sell so that either they can increase their revenue and move up to another bracket to achieve bigger goals, or to extract themselves from the sales side because there's a lot going on. When an organization starts out, what happens, and it's founded by somebody, they have their product that they sell, right? Whether it's a service or a product, but we're going to call it a product. So there's something they're providing to their customers. Now, usually there's some kind of fulfillment if it's a service-based business. If they're in heating or plumbing, or they are a coach or a consultant, or they help people get out of debt or fix their credit, doesn't matter. Whatever that is, there's some kind of output. Somebody comes on as a client, and then what happens is then something has to actually happen. And in the beginning, it's really easy. You sell to somebody, you get somebody on board as a new customer, and then you move them forward, you fulfill whatever you sold them into, and then you just keep doing that over and over again. But at some point, it reaches a scale at which you cannot do that anymore and do both sides. You cannot sell at the rate you want to sell and then fulfill and service. So you bring on people, you have a team, you have customer service, customer satisfaction, maybe some marketing, maybe support. And then what happens is you have this machine that's growing, which is natural for a business, and you can't do it all. So one side is growing the revenue, another side is just wanting to be able to manage everything and run everything and lead the whole team. But that usually means there's not enough time for the sales. And when you're not selling, the revenue goes down. And then there's this crisis mode because you need the revenue to support the machine that you've built. And so that's the flux. That's the flow of an organization, that up and down until you reach some scalability. Now, scalability is when you have a system or process where you have inputs that you can put into the machine, and then you know you're going to get a set amount of output, right? So if I spend X dollars on marketing, I know I'm going to get this kind of a return. If I spend this much on sales, I know that I'm going to get this much in return. So you get to the point with scalability where I know that if I put a dollar in here, I'm going to get $1.50, $2, $5, $1.10. Everybody's business model is different, but you know that you're going to get something out the other end when you put in this, and you're going to get out that. The problem is for most founder-led organizations is it's all been on their back. So all the sales success, all the revenue, all the business has been because they can do it. And the problem is that they can't achieve any scalability with anybody else because no one else is getting results. Not even just the results that they're getting. Generally, what happens is they're not even getting enough results. And so that's what I wanted to cover today, is talking about that owner who is the top sales rep and how you can move away from that and what you can put in place. So if you're listening to that and you're that owner, you're in that situation, this episode is for you. Now, if you're not that owner and if you're in a smaller organization, some of these things might really help you as well. So you might find some value in this episode. So let's talk about the tips. The first one is that you need to realize that no one is going to sell as well as you do. Just isn't going to happen. It's never going to happen. And in my experience, I've never found an organization with any examples of a salesperson on a team who is more effective than a sales-based founder. Now, there's technical founders. And so to me, that would be someone who's, let's say, really good at building websites, right? That's a technical skill. They got a technical output. They love making websites. They don't like dealing with people. They don't necessarily like the sales part. They just love creating websites and building websites and helping people get to where they want to be via website and that satisfaction that they get themselves for being a part of that. Now, for that kind of founder, it's easy to find other people who can sell more effectively because that technical founder isn't sales-minded. But if it's a sales-focused founder, you'll never find somebody else. And the reason why I can make that claim and make that statement is because you, as a founder, it's your baby. You've created it. You're passionate about it. You live it. You're excited about it. You know the value. That's why you started this company. And you know that what you're selling can help people, help the right people, and you live it, you believe it. It's like the same reason why everybody thinks their baby is the cutest. They think their child is the cutest, the most special, the smartest, whatever that is. Everyone feels that same way. You, as a founder, have that perspective. And because you have that perspective and that energy, and it's something you started this because of this idea or this drive inside of you, that energy comes through in your conversations such that when you talk to a prospective customer, they're going to buy into that because of the energy you're bringing. And another side note for the reason why no one else will be able to sell at the volume that you will is that you also have that title, founder, CEO, whatever that is. When you go into a conversation with your passion and then say, oh yeah, by the way, this is my company, people go, okay, I'm dealing with the owner, the founder, the CEO. Okay, this is great. I like you. I want to buy from you. I want to sign up. Anybody else doesn't have that title. And so it'll mean that they're just going to struggle a little bit more. It's going to be tough for them to achieve the same results with the same credibility and the same weight behind them as a CEO or a founder. So that's the first one. Realizing no one's going to sell as well as you. Second thing, stop hiring sales reps, hoping to abdicate the sales success to them. That's one of the things I see a lot, is where a founder hires salespeople and says, okay, you know how to sell. Here you go. Good luck. It was easy for me. It should be easy for you. I'm going to go do other things. Now go sell, right? And abdicating versus delegating. Abdicating is where I'm giving you something to do and I'm hands off. I'm not checking in. I don't care. I've moved on. And then hopefully you just complete it. Now, of course, that could work. Most of the time it doesn't, because there needs to be check-ins. There needs to be management, coaching, training, and all those things are generally missing, because founder and owner in this stance is hiring somebody thinking they're going to have the perfect rep, right? The perfect person they can hand the team over. And I'm telling you, and I know this, that to be so, so true, is there's no perfect first rep hire. It doesn't exist. It doesn't happen. There is no perfect first rep hire that you can bring on board, that you can hand off the whole team to and move on. And the reason why I say that, and I can say that for sure, is that if there was somebody who's so perfect, that person would need to be essentially an entrepreneur as well, because you're handing them a incomplete thing and they've got to run with it and grow it and treat it like their own business. If they're that kind of person, either they're not going to stay with you very long because they're going to realize how much work they're doing, or they're already running their own businesses or thinking about that themselves and they're not going to come on board. So just stop looking for that perfect first hire, and then stop trying to abdicate the whole process. Third tip, document everything that you do and say. This is the tough thing, because a lot of times founders are so busy, but you need to document everything you do, everything you say, everything you email, everything you hand out, and what your team would need for them to be successful. Number four, have the right reps to build your team around, right? So this is going to be different for every organization, and the companies I work with, we look at all the different options. But one side, you have new eight reps. They've not been in sales very long, or they haven't sold what you have. Maybe they come from some kind of sales background, but it's not the same. Might be similar, but not exact. But they're moldable, right? They're more of a blank canvas you can take and then fit to your sales process, your ideas, your company culture, and so on. The other end of the spectrum is we have the seasoned, fixed salesperson, right? That person who, they've been doing it for a long time. They've got that, don't tell me what to do. I know how to sell because I'm such a pro attitude. The challenge is that's very fixed. You wanting them to just come up with new ways to do it, or handing them a new playbook, generally doesn't work too well. Also, the challenge is when you're at that end of the extreme, then they're also not that entrepreneur minded. They're a career salesperson. So they like to be handed some kind of playbook, and then they like to do their own thing. Having them come up with a new script, come up with a new process, build out everything, that isn't going to work. So you've got to make sure that you don't hire the wrong type of person. What you generally want, though, is that person who has that entrepreneurial spirit, right? They have that style with some skills and blended with what you can afford, but also set up in the right way. So it's a really tough combination for those first groups. And then the fifth one here is, this is the biggest tip, is to commit mentally, physically, emotionally to giving your new sales team, however many it is, whether it's two or it's 10, giving them 6 months of your time before you move on, before you start to extract yourself from the sales side. Why 6 months? Because it's going to include the hiring, the recruiting, then the training and the ramp up of the team, and then the failure. Because what I know to be true so many times is that you think you know what it's going to take. You bring people on, there's things missing. And then that first generation, rarely do they ever stick, such that that generation, that first wave of people you hire is gone. You learn some lessons from it. You realize what didn't go right, who you really want, and you have some more metrics, and then you can move over. So then you're hiring a second wave of people to cover up for that turnover. You're ramping them up in that round two, and then you're moving them forward. So that whole process, I know because I've seen it. Usually you want to commit to that 6 months. Now, if you want help building your sales team, or you want help with the sales team that you already have in place, getting you through that hump, getting through those growing pains in those first 6 months, if that's where you're at, then reach out to me, because I've done this many times for organizations. I know how to do this. I know how to build it, how to take what's in your head, what you're really good at, what you do successfully as the top sales rep founder of your company, and extract that, put that into what a team could use to move forward, find the right people, and smooth out some of those growing pains and those speed bumps along the way. Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do two things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode, and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.